How can you win if you don't look ahead? Welcome to Fantasy NBA Today podcast, the sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Brewski, FSWA Hall of Famer, Steve, Dr. A. Alexander. Today we're going to be talking with our own Jacob Dunn about the week ahead and getting you guys prepared for the upcoming week and doing it a little bit early. We want to try to get ahead of the curve on some things. There's a good balance to that, trying to see what we can say a little bit earlier, a few days away from the start of the upcoming week, but also keep our balance and make sure we have all the recent information available for you guys. So we're going to walk that line here. We're also going to quickly mention our schedule here around on Fantasy NBA Today. We're doing shows in the morning, doing 7 shows a week, and then most of them in the morning, Monday through Friday. And then the Wednesday night show, Sports Ethos After Dark, with Rick Kamla and Steve Alexander. I can tell you it's the best basketball show going on at that time of night. I can actually confidently say that, not just because Doc is here, but because literally running around, putting the kiddo down and doing all of the parental activities and trying to keep up with however many games were going on Wednesday night. I had the show on in my ears and I'm laughing out loud like 3 different times during that show because we got the basketball equivalent of Lee Corso over here with Dr. A. But before I bring him in and before I bring in Jacob, let's quickly pay some bills. Basketball fans, it's that time of year again. The NBA is back. If you hadn't heard, from opening tip-off to buzzer beaters, BetOnline has you covered with the best odds, biggest promotions, and live in-game betting on all of your favorite teams. This season, every game matters, as if it didn't in prior seasons. BetOnline has every stat, matchup, breakdown, and live odds to bet on during the games. And it's not just the NBA. BetOnline has odds on everything from football, MLB playoffs, NHL, to political props. Head to the website today to get in the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline, the game starts here. Only tripped about 3 times during that. Jacob, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, bro.
Yeah. And Doc, how you hanging over there?
I'm hanging.
How's that Lee Corso voice treating you?
Well, it's funny you mentioned the Lee Corso thing. Like, College Game Day is in Bloomington, Indiana this weekend. And I kind of grew up in Bloomington, Indiana. We had a house down there. And Lee Corso was the coach of the Indiana Hoosiers when I was a kid. And he was a big deal. And I love Lee Corso on College Game Day. And it's funny because Kamla and I were talking the other night, and I'm sitting here, I feel a little bit like Lee Corso. I like don't only get a couple words out at a time. I like saying not so fast. There's talk about they should have this show in Indiana be Lee Corso's last College Game Day because he's old and he's about ready to retire. And I kind of think it would be cool too. The sad thing is, I'm like 30 years younger than Lee Corso, yet I feel like Lee Corso. So, whatever.
It's deep thoughts with Dr. A. I the Lee Corso thing is crazy because I feel like when I was like 14 years old or something, Lee Corso was sitting on that panel doing College Game Day, and it kind of looks the same to me. Like when I see Lee Corso, I don't think that guy's aged 30 years. Yeah. I just think there's Lee Corso doing Lee Corso stuff. And maybe there's a little bit of your voices are kind of the same. I mean, he's got to shout over all those fans, and I'm sure his voice has hurt over the years. Jacob, how are you, sir? It's good to have you. Lots been happening in the NBA since we talked with you last. Mm-hmm. Where are you at with like storylines in general? What's like, you know, give us a couple things that you can reflect upon over the last week of NBA action now that teams have got one game each in the books.
Yeah, I was in charge of doing the Wednesday night pickups when we got the first full beefy lineup of games. And, I think the basis was like, have at least like 10 players. I had 30 players on that list just because like there were so many, like you didn't have to go out and add them, but there were a lot of people whose minutes surprised me, whose production surprised me, just like in standard leagues and in deep leagues. So it was incredibly cool to see the players that we were high on succeed. And then there were some surprises. And so if you guys haven't checked that out, go back to Wednesday night's pickup article on Sports Ethos and check that out, because there were a lot of surprises, a lot of confirmations. But as a whole, the NBA is back, baby. And it's just been extremely cool to just to see it all unravel after all of our hard work here at Sports Ethos.
Yeah. I mean, just to kind of echo, I think like there are more angles this year than I think in previous years. And I was going to compile a list of them. If I was super prepared for everything, I would have compiled a list and been able to rattle off like 15, 20 cool things that are going on in the NBA. And that pickups article, what you guys are going to notice with that pickups article is that we're trying to basically make it a live feed for you guys to have pickup information as the night is going on, all in one place. There's a lot of different ways that you can do that. I just think like right now, especially in this day of age and an age of Twitter being the resource, like everybody's sort of dumping their content onto Twitter and it is super messy out there to try to follow, like, okay, even if it's me producing the content on Twitter, like if I'm the producer and I'm hoping it's like getting out to the masses, like, it's just like, how are you going to get all of that out to the masses and make it make sense to people with like just the randomness of the Twitter feed just kind of constantly piling up and so much action? Like, why not just have a page that you could just sit on and see, oh, there's the pickups. That's what, that was easy. I don't have to wade through the For You tab. I don't have to wade through everybody's random posts about whatever is happening at that given moment. I just get the pickups in one spot. But enough about that and the fantasy pass, which you can get for $7 per month right now at sportsethos.com. What about angles? What are the things that you thought about during this last week that, that really kind of rise above the rest?
I was thinking a lot about Bronny James and how he is fantasy irrelevant. No, I mean, yeah. You know, I just, you know, it was insane to me that Bronny James had an ADP in the first place, but you know, like people are just too
they're
excited. Just,
they're having fun with that.
But yeah. Right. Absolutely. But you know, as far as the angles go, you know, I'm always looking at the streaming angle. So I'm looking at the players who didn't perform well, who got unexpected minutes, who maybe got over 20 minutes, who didn't produce, but we like that amount of minutes, you know, like they could pick it up as the season goes along. I'll talk about those guys afterwards. I thought about Doc's boy, LaMelo Ball, going off and how we urged you guys to sell high because he knew that he would go off for the first two games. So it's just like, I was thinking about all of what you guys said. You know, I let you guys influence me that podcast I was on last Monday when you guys were high on Luka being the MVP. I let you guys influence me on that in that draft that night. So Luka looked good, you know, and just to everything of the sort. So yeah, those were the angles that I was looking at. I'm not sure if I exactly answered your question, but yeah.
No. I think the LaMelo thing is really interesting right now. Like, do you sell? Let's see, Doc, where are you at? Like LaMelo, big night. Probably going to have a couple more. Are you hanging on to that? Or are you starting to shop that?
You know, being a my guys guy, it's hard to sell your guys. Like, I love my guys. I want my guys on my team. So if LaMelo's one of my guys, I'm going to have a hard time moving. Now, if I'm playing in like a high stakes, big money that I need to win, I'm probably looking at trading LaMelo Ball. Like, his value is not going to be higher. Like, I think we said this Monday, right, Jacob? Like, his value will never be higher than it is right now. And then here we are today. It's actually higher because he looks so good in game one.
It was the outfit, Doc. It was the outfit. He looks so good because of the outfit.
Are you 90 years old? You're calling a man's clothing outfit?
90 years old, or maybe, I don't know, 14?
His fit.
I like that.
His outfit was neat.
Yeah,
it was. It was, actually.
It was rather neat.
Sorry. I interject. I'll shut up now.
No. That's awesome. I think if you're smart, you look to trade LaMelo, but you got to get a shitload back for it.
Yep. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, because he is a first round guy right now. Currently, Melo, yes. First round guy. Okay. So for those of you who don't know, Jacob does a ton of work here with streamers and looking at schedules and really digging into those details. So Jacob, what about this upcoming week? Who's got the best schedules for folks to really start focusing their attention on?
Yeah, so there's two teams here with potentially the best schedules next week, and that's the Mavericks, who play four games. They have low traffic days, which is nice, and they play against the Jazz, Wolves, Rockets, and Magic. So all those should be some fast-paced offensive games. And then next, we have the Kings. Your Kings, Brew. They got four games.
Not my Kings. They're not my Kings. Just everybody. I'm not letting that slander go out there. Go on.
Sorry, I'm sorry. All right, fine. Someone's got to claim them. I guess no one here at Sports Ethos will. So they got four games as well. And they play on one low traffic day. And they don't have a back-to-back, but they do play against the Blazers, Jazz, Hawks, and Raptors, which is every fantasy manager's dream. So I like the Mavericks and the Kings for the best schedules this week.
Nice. Okay, so looking at the Mavs with their schedule, who are the streaming targets here out of the Mavs that you think that really deserve consideration heading into the upcoming week?
So what's funny about the Mavs is that they are, like, at least on Yahoo, they're very top heavy. Like only four players are, like, rostered heavily in leagues, and then it kind of, like, dwindles down. And then, so, you know, it's Luka, it's Kyrie, it's Klay Thompson, Derek Lively, and Daniel Gafford. Those are, like, the four or five Mavs that are all rostered in too many leagues to stream. But right behind them is PJ Washington. He's rostered in 68% of leagues. I try to keep this to under 50% for standard and 10% for deep league. But if PJ Washington is out there, I would definitely consider picking him up because of that favorable schedule. And because I mentioned him in a Sports Ethos article for the draft guide, he produces a poor man's triple single, where he almost gets that coveted 1-1-1, that three-pointer steal and block. He's right there. So, you know, he is one of the most underrated fantasy players, in my opinion, one that I grabbed at the end of almost every draft that I was in. So if he's available, I would definitely grab PJ. But for all of you deep leaguers out there, I really liked what I saw from Jaden Hardy in the first game. I think that you could stream Hardy for points and three-pointers. He scored 11 points in his season debut, going 3 of 6 from the field with 3 three-pointers. And while it's a small sample size, the 20 minutes in a close game is encouraging, right? This wasn't just a blowout. He did get meaningful minutes in this game. So I think he is definitely worth a look. And he's rostered in only 3% of Yahoo. And then next on the Mavs is Najee Marshall. You know, he came over from the Pelicans over the offseason. The Mavs really like his versatility. And despite a less than stellar debut, he still got 21 minutes off the bench. And he dished out 3 assists along with a rebound and 2 points, which isn't great. But I think it's only a matter of time before he gets back to last season's averages of around 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a three-pointer with the occasional steal.
I'm going to ask, because I think that's great. When you're looking at the bottom of the roster, those are the guys to look at for sure. I want to go deeper there, and I want to ask both of you guys, do you think there will be any point in time this season where Maxi Kleber will be fantasy relevant? I'll start with you, Doc.
I mean, it's possible, but I mean...
You look good on that block. That block from...
Pretty deep league, man.
I'm just throwing the question out there, because there's been points in time when Kleber's had top 100 value, you know, and possibly if he's got good athleticism and they could play 15 to 20 minutes, you know, the minutes from that first game on Thursday night were low except for Luka. Everybody else was 27 right. minutes or mm-hmm. below. Mm-hmm. And maybe that played into some of Kleber getting 15 minutes. His stat line wasn't good. Don't get me wrong. He had a block, 3 points, 4 boards.
Those moments where he was top 100 were fleeting.
They were. But, you know, we're talking streamers down there. I'm a Maxi Kleber fan, I think, is what this all boils down to. What about anybody else, Jacob? Or Jacob, you want to weigh in on the Maxi Kleber, the big Maxi Kleber moment of the show that we'll be talking about 20 years from now?
That's right. Kleber, I guess I have Kleber fatigue because he was always a streaming favorite of mine over the past few seasons. You know, he you could always depend on him to get those rebounds, and they always gave him, you know, a good amount of minutes and even started him. Like, the Mavs loved him, but now he only got 15 minutes in his debut, and that was kind of the trend towards last season as well. So I don't trust him fully. He's someone that I'll watch in a very deep league, like Doc was saying, in the deepest of leagues. I'll watch him. I'll see if they up his minutes this game, because, you know, game one could be it won't be an anomaly, but things could change drastically. Like, maybe the coach is like, this didn't work. I'm going to shake it up and see if I can give this guy some minutes. So there are some guys that could surprise you in game two, you know, like, so I'd definitely be on the lookout for that. But Cleaver, I'm watching him.
Got it. What about these Sacramento Kings? So you got a good schedule. Who are you looking at for your streaming action?
So the Kings are another one of those teams where it's very top heavy with the top four. And then there's a bunch of players that aren't rostered in many leagues. And one player that scratches my head that he is unrostered in so many leagues is Malik Monk. You know, he's rostered in 45% of Yahoo leagues. So he does qualify for this standard league suggestion, you know, and he's coming fresh off of a season debut where he earned 26 minutes off the bench. And had a very efficient night from the field, going 6 of 9 for 17 points, 4 dimes, 1 triple, and a board without turning the ball over. So I think he should easily get 25 plus minutes a night moving forward, contributing in those points, assists, and triples while really not hurting you anywhere else.
Because the turnovers are likely to be there because there's so many people that need the ball in their hands.
Right.
What about anybody else on the Kings that you're looking at?
So other than Monk, there's only one other King that I am interested in, and that's 7% rostered Kevin Huerter. Now, I know he's coming off of a left shoulder surgery, but he was inserted back into the starting lineup right away for the first game and did receive 20 minutes. Well, while it didn't yield much production, I am willing to take a shot on him in deeper leagues from what we've seen in the past, from last season and on the Hawks. You know, like, he does have that upside, and I'm willing to take a shot on him in deeper leagues to see if he gets more comfortable with each passing game. And with there not being a lot of depth on the Kings, there's a good chance that Huerter progresses back quickly, and can go back to last season's averages of about 10 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 triples a game.
Doc, would you take a shot on Kevin Huerter if it really mattered in this? If you had to, like, take Huerter or somebody else in this, like, 4-game stretch, if it really mattered, would you trust Huerter over?
No, I don't trust him. I don't trust him, man. He's had so many opportunities over the last 5 years to and has played tons of minutes. And something's broken, man. Something's not right. No, if I'm in a deep league, he's the best option there is, and their schedule is right. Huerter starts, plays 20 minutes, 4 games, good schedule. Sure, roll the dice.
Let's spice it up a little bit. Everybody out there in internet land should by now know that Keon Ellis is one of my favorite players.
Yeah,
and that I've already issued the do not drop and add recommendation. And I'll put it to you this way. I might actually start Huerter over Keon Ellis if the choice was presented to me over the next 4 games. A couple fun things. They ran the first play for Huerter last night, like right out the chute. Like, they knew it. Everybody knew it. Both teams knew it, and they still ran it. And that was that. Other fun stuff. They brought in Chris Duarte last year. Surprising a lot of people, because Huerter had had a good season the year before. And It's like, maybe they know the knee is not okay. Maybe they know something's going on. And Andre, you can pipe down from the private chat. There's no Keon slander going on over here. I have issued a hold and pick up recommendation on a guy that played 11 minutes in his season opener. That is
2 steals.
Unconscionable. But I understand they're trying to rehabilitate Kevin Huerter's value, and that's the basis for this decision-making. Also, most NBA coaches use blocks of time when they make these evaluations in the beginning of the year, what can they see out of Kevin Huerter in the starting lineup? Does it make them super dynamic? Can they outscore teams? I guess is the theory, the strategy with that. And then the other preferred smart strategy is take a guy who's an amazing first team NBA level defender and doesn't need the ball in his hands and can shoot the three and stick him in a rotation with four guys that need the ball in their hands. You could do it that way too, Mike Brown. It's not even Mike Brown. It's Monty McNair. It's the front office. It's the ownership. It's everybody trying to do all the things at once. I get it. Rehab Kevin Huerter's value. Just don't cost me my win totals bet of Sacramento over 47.5. Don't do that, Sacramento. But I think Huerter in four games in this sort of prove it situation, you're going to get probably an average of like 10 or 12 points a game, a couple threes. Maybe you get some goodies elsewhere. And in a four game week that could play. Keon Ellis, I think you could stick him in lineups in a kind of desperation situation. Definitely add stream. There's my personal recommendation. I have him highly ranked in the B150 and elsewhere. Anything else on the Kings though, Jacob, that you can think of?
What's funny is that you kind of stole my thunder there with Keon Ellis, because I was also a Keon Ellis fan because I was streaming him last season for his steals. And he did get two steals in just 10, 11 minutes of gameplay, which is nice. So if you do need steals, Keon Ellis is not a bad option at all, because there is a chance that he has earned more minutes next game just to shake it up and see, you know, if we can provide that defensive energy. So I'd be curious about Ellis too. Other than that, I'm not really looking at anyone else. Like, it is slim pickings past those guys.
Do you think anybody's going to rest in this back-to-back situation for the Kings?
My guess is Huerter. So, I mean, like, it could happen just because he is coming off that surgery. So that is definitely something to watch. There's been no rumblings about it. That's just a guess. Other than that, I don't see anyone else resting, because it's a relatively young team. So I don't see anyone taking a rest on purpose, at least.
What about low traffic games? So you got Brooklyn, New Orleans, and Utah. Each got two low traffic days. You got any targets? We'll go around the room with this. Let's start with Brooklyn. Is there anybody that's sort of lower on the totem pole that you might consider in a low traffic day, you know, days with five or less games where there's usually more chances to stream? Anybody from Brooklyn, Jacob, rise to that threshold?
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned these two guys' names in the Wednesday pickup articles, but Dennis Schroeder, he should be rostered in way more than 34% of Yahoo leagues. He had an excellent night, albeit a very inefficient night. He went 5 for 16, but he shot the ball 16 times, you know, in a game where Cam Thomas shined and shot the ball almost 20 times. So he seems to be the second scoring option on that team, at least right now, you know, and, you know, so Schroeder, 34 minutes, 13 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 triples and a steal. I mean, those are excellent numbers. If he is out there in a points league in 9-cat, pick him up. And then there's Ben Simmons, who is very impressive at least from an assist standpoint. You know, he went 3 for 4, you know, so he didn't hurt you in your field goal percentage, because he's just not going to take that many shots outside of layups. I don't think he took a single shot outside of 2 feet, but, you know, he will get you those dimes, and he's rostered in about 38% of leagues. Now, if you're looking for deeper leagues, you know, so I also mentioned him in a deep league, but there's Jalen Wilson, who had an incredible summer league, and it was just really cool to see him carry that momentum over to the regular season. I didn't think he would earn 34 minutes. I didn't think he would earn maybe like 15 to 20 minutes, you know? So it was really cool that the coach let Jalen Wilson get extra run, and he was 8 for 8 from the stripe, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist and 2 triples. So that's a name definitely to monitor and maybe stream to see if it wasn't a fluke, to see if he still gets, you know, like 25 plus minutes. 34 seems outlandish, but I will definitely take a shot on Jalen Wilson in very deep leagues, as he's rostered in only 4% of Yahoo.
Doc, other than celebrating over Cam Thomas's 27 shots in 27 game shots. One, Doc, you got anybody else on Brooklyn on your radar to bring into a low traffic day?
I have breaking news. I am in a league where I actually drafted Ben Simmons onto my team.
Wow. And you're liking the assists, right?
My name is Steve, and I have a problem. You get Ben Simmons in the 12th round. What could go wrong?
Like, might as well.
He's either gonna show up and do his job this year, or you drop him. Like, it's, I don't care. It's taking Ben Simmons in the 3rd or 4th round that will ruin your life. Taking him in the 12th round, you're good. You will survive to live another day.
Hello, my name is Aaron, and I drafted Ben Simmons in the 4th round, and he ruined my life.
Yeah, there it is.
2 years ago, right?
Yeah, I did it every year for the last 10 years and bet everything on it.
Yeah. Fair.
Also, I'm going to put Zion Williamson into my FanDuel lineup tonight, I think.
Okay.
So, ooh, look at I'm you. Just
living all
Zion,
kinds of...
Zion fan of the house.
All on the wrong side of the Dr. A memo here.
What about anybody else from Brooklyn, Jacob?
Yeah, so one last player that I like who started last game is Dorian Finney-Smith. He had 30 minutes and scored 8 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 triples, 1 assist and a steal. So he's getting you those classic 3-and-D numbers that we know that DFS is capable of, but he's also getting those rebounds because he's starting at center because Nick Claxton is being brought on slowly because of his hamstring issues back in the preseason. So he's not starting. So DFS is a fine play for now. Like he'll get you those 3-and-D stats with rebounding for as long as Nick Claxton is coming off the bench. He is a very solid play, and he's only rostered in 5% of Yahoo leagues.
That's a little crazy considering he was a probable, I want to say, top 75 guy in Dallas, and yeah, he's kind of the same guy, and they don't have players right now in Brooklyn. I mean, you got Sharp is out. You've got Watford is out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's kind of clearing out the back end of the front court there. Clowney got 15 minutes.
Yeah,
in that last game. I think that's interesting because if he was a hot topic. I mean, people wanted Clowney in drafts. I started seeing Clowney sort of fade in drafts, and I like Clowney a lot. I just didn't think that the path was there to get, say, top 125 value. So I didn't have Clowney on a lot of teams. But if he's sitting on the waiver wire, I would be absolutely, might as well get in before it's obvious. If he's going to have a good season, you might as well get in on that. And then the Jalen Wilson stuff is great. Like, mm-hmm, he's, I think he's a great player. And to see him get 34 minutes right off the bat, I kind of think he's a guy that should be on a lot of rosters. I'm not going to go must add with Jalen Wilson, but he's got to be on a lot of rosters. That's a lot of minutes, and why not? Right. Okay. Let's go rapid fire on a couple other teams that are hanging out there. We got New Orleans and Utah in these low traffic games. Let's get your best recommendation from New Orleans and your best recommendation from Utah for streamer action. Jacob, you can go first.
Yeah, so from New Orleans, with DeJounte Murray out, I think that opens up the window, or that will open up the window for Jose Grand Theft Alvarado. I think he's going to be a guaranteed swipe in every game that Murray misses. So I would definitely look at him. Even in just 13 minutes last game, he got his patented steal along with 3 dimes and a triple. So I think that he can provide those 3-and-D numbers for deep league fantasy managers, or even managers where they just want to stream 4 steals. So I really like him. And I like Daniel Tyus too. He got 19 minutes last game. Now that was because Zion missed. So that's definitely, like, I don't trust him tonight with Zion back. I want to see what he does, how many minutes he gets with Zion back, but Daniel Tyus is at least interesting to me for someone who is available in 98% of leagues. So I'll see how his minutes shake up. And Jordan Hawkins, he got 28 minutes last game. And he produced 3 triples and 7 boards with 13 points. So, I mean, you can't just look away from those numbers just because Jordan Hawkins isn't a household name. He was a valuable streamer down the stretch last season. So he can play. And he got the minutes last game in a very close one. I mean, they won by 12, but it was 123 to 111. Like, this was a very high scoring game. So I am just, you know, and they faced Portland for the last two games this week, but for next week, I am just, I'm taking a shot on Hawkins. He's probably my number one, player on the Pelicans that is rostered under 50%, that he's just rostered in too few of leagues. Like, 10% is too little for 28 minutes last game. And Zion's presence shouldn't affect him because he's a shooting guard. So I like Jordan Hawkins, and Jose Alvarado, with Murray going down.
Doc, between Hawkins and Alvarado, who would you shoot with?
It's not even close. It's Jordan Hawkins all the way. I'm my new risers and fallers call him up at ESPN, and Jordan Hawkins is featured in that column. Mm. And the guy that I was trying to think of his name earlier, Javonte Green, plays for the Pelicans now. He used to play for the Bulls.
Anyway, love Javonte Green. Love
him. I like.
You were going to let that go, by the way. I knew you wouldn't.
I don't like. I don't like disagreeing with our guest.
No, it's fine.
I like Yves Mesi more than I like Daniel Tyus, and okay. I like Jordan Hawkins more than I like Alvarado. Although you're there with me as well.
I don't like Alvarado, disagreeing with my co-host.
Go. Do it.
But I like Jose Alvarado over Jordan Hawkins. And I think it's close. And I think it's very close. But I like Jordan Hawkins a lot. You want to bet me something?
I will bet you a beer on Rick Kamla's pool deck.
Oh, damn. The stakes are high.
That Jordan Hawkins is better than Alvarado.
All right. I'm on. Mm-hmm. I'm in on that. What about, okay, aside from now, I'm just conjuring the fun that we're going to have. What about Utah, Jacob? You got somebody on Utah that you like?
Yeah. I featured Jordan Clarkson as one of my top pickups last game. I feel like people are waiting for him to just go away, and he just won't. You know, like, he used to be a perennial sixth man of the year candidate, even won it, I believe, a few times, but you can fact check me on that. But in his first game of the season, he got 25 minutes and scored 17 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 triples and a block. Now, I don't expect the blocks to continue, but you can expect those points and those assists and some solid, like, okay rebounds, you know, and he's going to get 20 plus minutes a game. It's guaranteed. So I think that Jordan Clarkson needs to be rostered in more than 34% of leagues. Now it's 39% of leagues. But other than that, it is very slim pickings. Like, I'm looking down this list and I'm a huge fan of Cody Williams just because he went to my alma mater, CU. But you know, he got 19 minutes and did nothing with that. So for now, table his name for like a silly season, maybe towards the end of the season. But for now, he is no one that I'm really interested in. And it's just very top heavy. There's a lot of players. Like, Keontae George is rostered in 78% of leagues. He's more of a points league guy, in my opinion, because he is pretty inefficient from the field. So I would, George is a much better points league than Nine Cat. But as far as who's available that needs to be available or that needs to be added for next week's schedule is Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the only one there. Doc, I'm going to bring you an exotics, Northern California hoppy ass IPA and make you drink that.
Ooh.
That's what I drink anyway. That's what I do.
There we go. All right.
That's why I weigh like 300 pounds, bro. Hey,
talk to me about 300. You look like a solid.
It's all 200. Down. It's all just below.
You don't keep it in your face. You keep it beneath the
it's
the
all line. In one place. It's all in one place. So talk to me about John Collins, man. Where is our panic level with Johnny Collins. Didn't start, didn't play well. Hendricks is like the new kid on the block that everybody loves.
Yeah.
Is John Collins toast?
We'll let our intrepid guest go first.
Yeah, he was off of all of my draft boards. I watched him last year. He doesn't look as good as he did when he was on Atlanta. And even in Atlanta, he wasn't a fantastic fantasy contributor. He was a great, like, meat and bones guy with points and rebounds and field goal percentage, you know, which is nice. But, you know, he never really added defensive stats, even though last game he did get a steal and a block. I just don't expect those numbers to continue. And he went 5 of 12 from the field. That's not something that you want from your power forward center. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Collins. I think he's a decent deep league points league guy, but in 9-cat, yeah, if you have him, he's 84% rostered. So yes, I am pressing the panic button. I don't trust him. And like you said, Taylor Hendricks got 29 minutes versus Collins is 18 minutes. And Hendricks actually got 3 triples, 12 points, 5 boards and 2 steals and a block. Like, Hendricks is definitely coming for his minutes, and we saw that in game one. I don't see that changing because the Jazz know who Collins is, and the Jazz spent a first round pick on Hendricks last year. So yeah, the button has been pressed, Doc.
You guys can press the button by yourself. I'm fine. Uh-oh. On John Collins. I'm fine. I got a top 80 season. And top 90. Top 85. Top 85.
Well, I think he's going to get dropped in a bunch of leagues, and then he's going to have a good second half.
The key with this whole thing with him is, can he wiggle his way out of Utah and get into another location where he has decent minutes, you know, so he doesn't get hit by the Utah, whatever it's going to be for Cooper Flagg. That, to me, is the name of the game right there. So good stuff, guys. All right. We got to get out of here. So I'm going to take us out. If anybody has a screaming hot take that they want to throw out there, you just interrupt me because I don't care. You can talk over me, Doc.
I'm going to prepare for my Lee Corso Memorial Retirement Celebration tomorrow. I'm going to go drink a huge, fat Creature Comforts Tropicalia IPA right now.
And you know what? I got one job for you, Doc. I want you to get them as a sponsor.
Ah, they were in the Avengers movie.
That's right.
They're way beyond my level.
Tell them they would pony up Avengers style money to get on Fantasy NBA today, presented by Bet Online, a sports ethos presentation. Thank you, Jacob, as usual, for your wonderful intrepid analysis. Thank you, Andre, for producing a hell of a show. Doc, thank you very much for bringing me to Rick Kamla's, was it the pool patio? The pool deck in wherever Rick's hanging out these days. And thank you, listeners, for all of your great feedback and support. It was an amazing record-breaking draft season for us here at Sports Ethos, so that's awesome. Appreciate you guys. And that's going to do it for us. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.